Well, praise the Lord. So good to be in his house today. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Mark chapter 8. Mark 8, beginning at verse 22. Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. A blind man. And Jesus was at Bethsaida, house of fish, and they brought a blind man to him. Who were they? These that brought this blind man to Jesus. You know, the Bible says that they begged Jesus to touch him. Desperate for a touch from Jesus. Desperate that this blind man receive a touch from Jesus. I mean, it's so beautiful. It's just so beautiful. They knew the man's state. They knew the condition of the sockets in his head. They knew the lack of vision. They knew how vulnerable he was. Eyes meant for seeing. But this man was blind. He comes to Bethsaida and they bring this blind man to him and they beg him to touch him. And Jesus takes the blind man by the hand, it begins to lead him. Isaiah 42, 16, I will bring the blind by the way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. The NIV reads, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. And so he reaches out. Jesus reaches out and he touches the man. He takes the man by the hand and he leads the man out of town. Led out of town. Led out of known places, known ways, led out of familiar paths, led to paths that he might be led in paths he has not known. Unfamiliar paths to the blind. This man is led out having already received a touch from Jesus. Jesus is holding the man's hand while he leads him out. The text, he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. The Message paraphrase reads, they arrived at Bethsaida. Some people brought a sightless man and begged Jesus to give him a healing touch, taking him by the hand, he led him out of the village. He put spit in the man's eyes, laid hands on him, and asked, do you see anything? What precious ointment? What do you see? When he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. He looked. And he looked up and said, I see men. I see men like trees walking. What do you see? I mean, the man could see. What do you see? Be honest. Can't fake this eye exam. Don't try and fake it. What do you see? The man replies, I see men. They look like walking trees. Can't fake it. Don't try and fake it. The work has begun, but Jesus isn't finished yet. Can't fake it. Don't try and fake it. I mean, how else will you ever see beyond the trees? How else will we ever see beyond the trees? Can't see the forest for the trees? Verse 25, the New King James Version, then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everything clearly. The NIV, his eyes were opened. His sight was restored and he saw everything clearly. The Wycliffe Bible, he began to see and he was restored so that he saw clearly all things. In the KJV, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Look up. I mean, imagine blind, but now you can see everything clearly. Blind, but now you can see all things clearly. You were once blind, but now you can see every man clearly. Until Jesus takes us by the hand and leads us out of the familiar of the blind and blinded, familiar paths of the blind, until Jesus takes us by the hand and leads us out, until Jesus washes our eyes with what only he can provide, what only the mouth of the Savior can provide, until Jesus puts his hands again upon our eyes and makes us look up, until then, we can't see. We can't see clearly. We can't see everything clearly. We can't see all things clearly. We can't see every man clearly. And you know what? Until then, we can't even see Jesus clearly. Seeing trees. Seeing men like trees, men walking like trees. How do trees walk? Ants. This no fiction. Lord, we need to see beyond the trees. I share the words of Carter Conlon. We know that Jesus was so full of the love of God that he allowed himself to be given for the needs of the very ones who opposed him. When people walked by his cross and reviled him, wagging their heads and gambling for his garments, the only thing that came out of his mouth was, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. This is the perfected love of God. It is this perfected love that will empower us to do what we are called to do in this generation, to love those who hate us for their soul's sake. On the other hand, the one who fears is not perfected in the love of God. He is as the blind man who was touched by Jesus, yet only saw people as trees walking. When he put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw as he ought. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. The blind man had only partial vision, and similarly, when you and I do not have a heart to see people the way God sees them, we will be driven back by their hard looks and condescension. However, when the man was willing to be touched by the Lord a second time, he lifted his eyes and suddenly saw all men clearly. If you are desperate to be a witness for Jesus Christ, if you are tired of being one thing in church but another outside, if there is a cry inside of you that says, God, I've had enough of this powerlessness. I don't care who laughs at me or thinks I've lost my mind. I want your power to be able to stand for Jesus Christ. And I have good news for you. God is willing to touch you again, just as he did that blind man. This will find place today. He looked up. Then Jesus made him look up. You see, there's a difference. There's a great difference. Look up. Imagine seeing, but seeing men like trees. Seeing things like trees, whatever it be. Like trees walking. Not seeing clearly, no clarity, which in cases means no charity. Lack of definition. We're talking about not seeing what we should be seeing, not seeing what truly is, not seeing whatever it be for what it truly is. And so what might it be this day? And Jesus is asking, what do you see? Eyes lifted. Can we see clearly? Are we seeing clearly, or are we seeing trees? Can't see beyond the trees. The message, he looked up. I see men. They look like walking trees. So Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again. The man looked hard and realized that he had recovered perfect sight, saw everything in bright 20/20 focus. Jesus took the man by the hand. When the blind come to Jesus, when the blind are brought to Jesus, he takes them by the hand. He leads them by the hand. He leads them out. He washes their eyes. He anoints their eyes. He lays hands on their eyes. It's Jesus. He opens the eyes of the blind that they might recover perfect sight, seeing everything right and everything bright. 20/20 focus, 20/20 vision. When we have only partial vision, we can't see things the way God sees them. When we have only partial vision, we can't see things the way God wants us to see them. This recovery of perfect sight is not something that we can make happen on our own. And no other person, not even the best mortal eye expert in the world or to ever live, can make this happen for us. We are talking beyond physical sight, although even physical sight finds place here. It's the miracle power of Jesus Christ. It's the miracle touch of Jesus. It's the miracle cure of Jesus. When the hands of the Anointed One are laid upon our eyes, and there we stand. There we are standing, eyes lifted, looking hard and realizing that we've recovered perfect sight, seeing everything bright. 20/20 focus, you see, until Jesus has our way, has his way with our eyes. We can't see as he sees. We can't see as he wants us to see. I share these words, her name, Fanny Crosby. When about 6 weeks old, I was taken sick and my eyes grew very weak, and those who had charge of me poulticed my eyes. Their lack of knowledge and skill destroyed my sight forever. As I grew older, they told me I should never see the faces of my friends, the flowers of the field, the blue of the skies, or the golden beauty of the stars. soon I learned what other children possessed. But I made up my mind to store away a little jewel in my heart, which I called content. In fact, Fanny Crosby was only 8 years old when she wrote this song. Oh, what a happy soul I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot. I won't. This contented worshiper went on to write around 8,000 hymns of praise. Those thousands of songs were simply the result of a fire that burned in her heart for Jesus and could not be put out. Someone once asked her, Fanny, do you wish you had not been blinded? She replied in typical style, well, the good thing about being blind is that the very first face I'll see will be the face of Jesus. Why this? Why this when we're talking about Jesus healing the sight of the blind? Why read this? Why this account? Why this true story? What is sight and what is seeing? I know a lot of people in this old world that have perfect sight, 20/20 focus, 20/20 vision. They don't wear glasses, they don't need them. In fact, they never have. No spectacles, yet a spectacle. They passed every natural eye exam they've ever taken at the eye doctor, the optometrist, with flying colors. If they wear glasses, it's only for fashion or protection or to complete the costume. When they see people, they see people. No trees. No walking trees. So, can they see? Of course, we'd respond, yes. But can they see? The story, the history, the encounter with Jesus, a blind man brought to Jesus. And yet, what of the non-blind blind man? Physical sight, but spiritual blindness. Spiritually blind. And the truth is, until we have spiritual sight that only Jesus can give, we can't truly, perfectly see physically. Physical sight, but when spiritually blind, do we see people as we really should? Physical sight, but when spiritually blind, do we see life as we really should? All things clearly? Everything clearly? Physical sight, but when spiritually blind, do we see God? Do we see Jesus as we really should? You see, in this sense, are not all of us born blind? Further words, Fanny Crosby, I sometimes think that blind people see more than their friends who have the power of vision. Like this 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message, the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Christ, the power and wisdom of God. The Voice Bible reads, for people who are stumbling toward ruin, the message of the cross is nothing but a tall tale. For fools, by a fool. But for those of us who are already experiencing the reality of being rescued and made right, it is nothing short of God's power. She spoke these words too. It seemed intended by the blessed prophet. This might be too hard for some to handle, but they're her words. It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life. And I thank him for the dispensation. If perfect earthly sight were offered me tomorrow, I would not accept it. I might not have sung hymns to the praise of God if I had been distracted by the beautiful and interesting things about me. Worth consideration. Well, on to another biblical account. John 9, 1 to 12. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him. Footnote says, we of the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore, they said to him, how are your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. What happens next? The Pharisees excommunicate the healed man. It's worth reading the entirety of the text. Pick it up, verse 13. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he'd received his sight. He said to them, He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Observe. He does not observe the Sabbath. Doesn't observe. Oh, he observed it all right. Sightless Pharisees, not fair, I see. This man is not from God, they're saying. Others said, how can this man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him? Because he opened your eyes, he said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents. They called the parents of him who had received his sight, and they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Jesus, that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing. You do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins, and you are teaching us. And they cast him out, excommunicated him. True vision and true blindness. John 9, 35 to 41. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." Then some of the Pharisees who were with him, they heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see.' Therefore, your sin remains." Let the Spirit speak today. Message paraphrase. Jesus then said, "I came into the world to bring everything into the clear light of day, making all the distinctions clear, so that those who have never seen will see, and those who have made a great pretense of seeing will be exposed as blind." Some Pharisees overheard him and said, "Does that mean you're calling us blind?" Jesus said, "If you were really blind, you would be blameless. But since you claim to see everything so well, you're accountable for every fault and failure." True vision and true blindedness. You're like, "I see just fine. I just came from an eye exam, killed it." Ever gone to Jesus for an eye exam? Let me tell you, he came into this world that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. You're like, "Am I blind also?" Examination time. Brought to Jesus. Blind or not blind? A blind man brought to Jesus. Images of people walking. Blind. "Well, let's make some adjustments. What do you see now?" I see men like trees walking. Partially blind. Progress. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. And yet I wonder if there's anyone in the house today and you were once touched by Jesus. Jesus led you out. You were brought to Jesus, desperate for a touch, or somebody brought you to Jesus and begged Jesus to touch you. And so he took you by the hand and he led you out, however that speaks. And Jesus did what only Jesus can do, and you had partial sight. And then Jesus again did what only Jesus can do, and you could see all things clearly. You could see everything clearly. But something's happened, and clarity's gone. The blur has set in your walk with the Lord concerning life and living, whatever it might be. And that clarity that you once had is gone. The only answer is to go to Jesus. Get desperate once again. Ask him to touch your eyes. Hear him say to you once again, "Look up." Maybe that's the problem. You're not looking up anymore. Eyes have fallen. I see as well the picture as Jesus leads the man out of town and away from the crowd, and the man begins to see as vision clears up, and he sees men like trees walking, a picture of humanity without proper definition. And then the man sees the crowd clearly, and clearly for what it is, a blind crowd without Jesus. "Well, it doesn't have to be long today. We got baptism to get to. Fitting for this day and for the moments we're coming to." Back to that second account, New King James Version. "He anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and he said to him, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam,'" which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. You know, Jesus has touched the eyes. He's anointed the eyes in the eyes of understanding. This is where it begins. And let's call this the point of repentance and acceptance. But it doesn't end there. Go wash in the pool, Siloam. Go wash in the pool, sent. Every believer sent to the pool. Yes, fitting. To fulfill all righteousness, Acts 2, 36 to 38. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ask today, do you see? Jesus is no mere man. He's no mere prophet. This is the perfect, sinless Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. I see the cross. See the cross where Jesus died. The tree they nailed him to. No walking tree. Come walk to the tree. Come and lay down your life at the foot of the cross. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The light of Christ's gospel, 2 Corinthians 4, 1 to 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, that is, adulterating the word of God, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. To the sinner today, and we're all sinners outside of Jesus Christ, outside of the faith, to the one who has not received the grace and mercy of the only one who can save, redeem, heal, and set free. It's time for an appointment with Jesus, an appointment with the eye doctor. Only Jesus can have us seeing beyond the trees. And, yeah, they specialize in diseases affecting the ear, nose, and throat. Look it up. Ah, Jesus does a complete work. Perhaps we're here today and the sight has gone blurred, like I already said, or is not as clear as it once was, and now we're seeing trees. We're not seeing beyond trees. We're not blind, but not right, not perfectly clear, not perfectly bright. Desperation, desperate Jesus, desperate for a touch. I'm desperate, Jesus, desperate for your touch. Until we pass Jesus's eye exam, desperate for a touch. Because our sight, our sightedness, our vision, our seeing is not as it could be. It's not as it should be. Let's have the worship ministry return today. And men like trees walking. I mean, what does that even look like? You know, trees don't walk. Trees are planted. Trees get planted. The great ones stay. They grow and they flourish. They are faithful. They are solid. They are stately. They are loyal. Oaks of righteousness. A sign and a wonder they are. So grand. So glorious, majestic, and regal. Trees don't walk. We need to hear that today. Well, there may be a father and a mother here this day, and you've come for water baptism service, and it's your son or your daughter. Or is it an aunt or uncle? Or a cousin, or a brother, or a sister, or a friend. Is this your son, your daughter, who you say was born blind? How then do they now see? They answered them and said, "We know that this is our, and that they were born blind, but by what means they now see, we do not know, or who opened their eyes, we do not know. They are of age, ask them. They will speak for themselves." Well, it's all becoming clear now. It was Jesus. They see because of Jesus. They are seeing because of Jesus. No need to ask them. We know, and they know. And they're about to testify and share their testimony. Let's hear them today as they speak for themselves. As they enter the waters of baptism, Jesus has taken them. They were once blind. Once blind, but now I see. Jesus took them by the hand. Perhaps they were desperate for their own touch, or somebody brought them to Jesus and said, "Jesus, please, we're asking you to touch them." Jesus took them by the hand and led them out. And Jesus did what only Jesus can do, and now they see clearly. The final words of Fanny Crosby. She said, "Take the world, but give me Jesus. In his cross, my trust shall be. Till with clearer, brighter vision, face to face, my Lord, I see." I see people like trees walking. Not trees in the literal sense. These be trees of righteousness. Let's stand in the house of the Lord for a moment. God, we give you glory. Lord, we lift you up. God, we thank you for these moments, this holy moment now, as sons and daughters, old and young, enter the waters of baptism, Lord. They're following in your footsteps, Jesus, for you gave yourself to the waters, fitting to fulfill all righteousness. And Lord, we just thank you for the testimonies we're about to hear. God, touch them and anoint their lives, that they would serve you wholeheartedly for all their days. We bless you, Lord.